Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in to a special Friday night edition of Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanza for Life. I certainly appreciate your time and your presence. I bow to you, and tonight's show is going to be a continuation of a conversation that was started last night. My special guest yesterday evening was King Coy Dunstan, and we started talking about how to overcome erectile dysfunction. And tonight's show is going to be a continuation of that discussion, but with a different guest. My special guest tonight is also a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. You've heard her on here many times. My special guest who will be helping us with the discussion tonight is Dr. Ruby Lathan. And if you're just tuning in for the very first time and you don't know who Dr. Ruby Lathan is, I guarantee you by tonight's end of the show, you will not forget her. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Lathan is a holistic health and wellness expert and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine, and she's host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chef. Wow. We are very, very fortunate to have somebody with such an awesome background to be our special guest today. And as you will see, she's got an awesome, awesome testimony that is just amazing. And when you hear it, I don't want it to go in one ear and out the other, because this is one of those testimonies that just, I mean, when I heard it, you know, it just kind of just made me just stop in my tracks and was like, wow, you know, because when you just hear it and you can just imagine everything that she's going to be talking about, I want you to visualize what she's saying when she shares it. Dr. Lathan, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to have you, number one, as a regular contributor to this show and to this topic tonight. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Sure. Thank you for having me. Always good to join you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. If you don't mind, Doctor, again, we're always new listeners, and, you know, there are people who have tuned in before and they've heard your testimony, but for the new members of the Health, Wealth, and Divine family, first I want to say welcome. If you don't mind, could you share your awesome testimony about how what brought you to the holistic health path? I mean, here, just reading your resume, I mean, you're a doctor. You got a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science. Somebody might wonder, well, how did she get involved with holistic health if that's her background? Could you share with our listeners what actually brought you to the work that you do now?
Absolutely. Happy to do that. It was kind of started with, I guess, misfortune, you might call it, but I believe there's always a blessing in every situation, or opportunity per se in every situation that we encounter. And that's what happened with me. In 2007, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And, of course, that was shocking news. Pretty young and thought I was pretty healthy, so very taken aback by that. And I decided at that point that when I got the diagnosis that I wanted to look into alternative treatment, because I was told the only remedy for this was to remove my thyroid, and didn't sound like a good idea to me at the time. and I didn't want to be on medication and dependent on medication for the rest of my life. So I said, I'm going to look at alternative treatment and see how, you know, maybe the body can heal itself, as I've heard other people who were able to do that naturally, cure themselves with cancer. So I started researching, you know, how the body heals of cancer and other things. And what I found was one method that's proven to be very effective was through plant-based diets, really whole food plant-based diets. So I switched my diet and got rid of all the processed and dairy and meat byproducts. Once I, you know, read multiple articles, stories, you know, anecdotal and scientific information about it, decided to try that and change my lifestyle, also reduce the stress, reduce just unhealthy relationships, and basically those working relationships. And a year later, from just changing my diet and lifestyle and really researching on how to boost the immune system, which is what heals the body, I was able to reverse the cancer with just the nutrition alone and supplements. And so that was a powerful thing for me. It was definitely a life-changing experience because it took a while. You know, a year of going through this, things tend to change. Your view on things tend to change. Your patience grows. Ugh. Your faith grows. A lot of things just take a different shape. And I think that was probably one of the reasons it took a while. You know, and honestly, the cancer might have been gone months before I found out it was gone. Because I didn't find out it was gone until we re-biopsied the tumor. Because the tumor I was expecting to shrink as a sign of, you know, the cancer leaving, but it didn't. And so I assumed the cancer was still there. But then something just, you know, dawned on me, continuing my research, that, you know, sometimes the tumors remain but change from cancerous to benign. And I said, maybe that's what's happened here, because there's been no growth, no change one way or the other, not smaller, not larger. And so that's when I insisted on doing the biopsy and found out that the tumor had changed to benign and I didn't have any other cancerous tumors. And so, you know, honestly, that could have happened 3 months in. I don't know, but I think the process was there for a reason. The process was there to teach me how to change my entire lifestyle and learn how to live a completely different way and to heal and to gather all this information and knowledge on nutrition and holistic health so that I could help other people. And that's what really happened. You know, a complete transition in my life happened over that year period. So that's how I transitioned from engineering to nutrition, because I wanted to share the word with other people who need the same information.
You know, every time I hear your testimony, it is so inspiring to me, because, you know, when you think about the fact that there are so many people that are in hospital wards today, you know, the cancer wards, you know, getting medication and, you know, this allopathic, toxic treatment that they're undergoing, and that just by changing what you eat, in addition to some of the other things you mentioned, you know, removing the stress out of your life and so forth, that you can actually reverse a disease that for many people has been viewed as a death sentence. And unfortunately for many people, it has been a death sentence, just simply because not knowing that there were alternatives to what they were being told was the best, their best treatment options, they actually ended up succumbing to the disease or the medicine or the medication that was being prescribed to them. And then when you just think about that, just that you can actually change your condition by changing your diet, and as you mentioned again, you know, just making some lifestyle changes, to me that just it just re-inspires me to just stay on this path, because, you know, our food is our fuel, and I think that a lot of times just the importance of nutrition is overlooked when people are talking about treatment options.
Absolutely. It is overlooked, and oftentimes that's because the doctors are not knowledgeable enough about nutrition and its effect on healing to be able to give you any solid information on it. So rather than learn it, they just dismiss it or just don't emphasize it enough. And that leads to our detriment. And that's why we have to take our health in our own hands and not just rely on what someone has said. There have been lots of doctors who've given people death sentences and been completely wrong about that. And they do it sometimes quite flippantly. You know, you've got 3 months to live, when they actually have no clue, you know, of how your body's going to respond to something. So, and this is not an attack against doctors. It's just that these are true stories. So the point is to take in all that information and you use your brain, your intelligence, to make a decision that makes sense to you and that you need to research, and don't take anyone's word at just face value. What I say or anybody else, you need to look that up and verify and see if it makes sense for you and your situation, because we're all different. And too often we just take the doctor's word for it and end up, just as you said, dead because of the treatments that often kill. A lot of times, most, especially with cancer, people often die from the treatment and not actual cancer itself, which is very sad. And so we just have to take it in our own hands and know that we have, you know, God-given intelligence to be able to comprehend and understand our own bodies, and that we can do something about it, and we don't just have to hand it over to someone else because they have told us so. So that's definitely the message.
You know, Doctor, to all the listeners, again, they know just based from the heading that, you know, when I advertise the show, tonight's show is on overcoming, being able to prevent and reverse erectile dysfunction. So, I mean, you're talking to somebody tonight, you'll be listening to somebody tonight, and by all means, you know, don't be shy. If you have a question or a comment, please, you know, just call in. But if you can reverse cancer, then something like erectile dysfunction should be like a piece of cake. I mean, you know, it just seems like erectile dysfunction would just be so, in comparison to, you know, curing cancer, erectile dysfunction seems like that would be like the simplest thing in the world to do. So I want to, you know, give hope to those brothers out there who might be suffering from erectile dysfunction. You know, all is not lost. Really, truly, it's not going to be a very difficult thing for you to, you know, combat, because, I mean, it's really not that hard to do, you know. So, but we'll be discussing that tonight. And if you have any questions or comments and you're listening online, you can call in at 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. And if you're listening by phone, all you have to do is press 1 and I can bring you on. So, Doc, let's get to the crux of tonight's show. Erectile dysfunction, it's something that a lot of guys have dealt with, and it's not something that's talked about openly, and because of the ego and the pride that a lot of men have, it's just not something that, you know, men really talk about. As I was sharing with you off air, that in my whole life I've only heard two brothers share situations like that with me, but I'm sure that it happens a lot more than I've heard of. So for the listeners, so that we can, you know, just lay the foundation for the discussion, what is erectile dysfunction? I don't want to assume that everybody knows what it is. So for the listening audience, what is erectile dysfunction?
Sure. It's pretty straightforward. It's just really the inability to obtain or maintain an erection adequate enough to have sex. So, just plainly. So, it's pretty easy to identify if you have that problem or not. And generally, it's defined more as a chronic problem, not something that happens once, you know, because of anxiety or you know, you had too much to drink or something like that. Those one-time, here-and-there occurrences really don't qualify as erectile dysfunction. But when it's an ongoing problem or worsening problem, you know, for a couple of weeks or more, then it's characterized as erectile dysfunction.
So the role then, if we could talk about the role that diet plays, because I know that, you know, diet plays a role in that. I mean, when people have been eating bad for the majority of their life, I assume that stuff just finally catches up with them as they get older. And studies have shown actually, though, that people that are younger now are, you know, suffering from, you know, erectile dysfunction, even in, you know, teenagers are even, you know, suffering from that. And it's not the one time, oh, I got drunk last night and, you know, nothing happened type of thing, but actually based on the definition that you gave, are suffering even at a much younger age. So if you could, what are some of the causes of the erectile dysfunction? What is actually going on in the body? I mean, technically, like you mentioned, you know, it's the inability of a man to obtain, maintain, and sustain an erection adequate for sex. But what actually happens or what causes that? I know that, you know, and I don't want to take away from your answer, but, you know, I know the diet plays a role in it. So if you could share with us what role the diet plays, because I think a lot of times people just aren't making that connection.
Sure, sure. There's diet plays a primary role in almost all diseases. And so most disease starts in the gut. 75%+ of diseases are related to our digestive system and the health of our digestive system. So diet plays a major, major role because everything we eat goes through our digestive tract. For erectile dysfunction, also called ED, in a lot of the commercials, it's been considered an early warning sign in some cases for heart disease. And that's because the diet that's high in saturated fat, cholesterol, low in fiber, low in antioxidants, low in enzymes and live foods is going to lead to clogging of the arteries. And that we have arteries going everywhere, not just to the heart. So oftentimes it's, you know, we think of diet and heart disease and eating saturated fat and fatty foods causing heart disease and stroke. It's really almost the same thing, except the arteries going to that region of the body are what are being clogged. And so that's why often you'll have that symptom showing up with ED before you have symptoms of heart failure or anything else, definitely before a heart attack. So it's not something to ignore, especially when you're younger. That's saying, you know, you've got to change course immediately because if you have clogged arteries going to that region of the body, you most likely have clogged arteries going other places, including the heart. And that's where you can really run into problems, even greater problems like stroke and heart attack. So basically what diet does is eating foods, basically meat, dairy product, and highly processed foods causes plaque to build up in the arteries, which causes the slowing of the blood flow to that region of the body. So that's why it's hard to obtain and maintain an erection because there's not adequate blood flow. And so that is pretty much the problem that's happening there. And that can happen for a number of reasons, not just diet, but diet being a primary one.
You know, what's very interesting about that is this, because you might take a family, you know, a husband and wife or a boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever, and the woman might be eating the exact same thing that the man is eating and who is experiencing ED. And if the woman were the man, she would have the exact, you know, would probably have the exact same results or the lack of performance that he's having. So I think it's very, very important for women to know, and we talked about a little bit last night, the role that they play in the man, you know, obtaining ED if she's actually cooking the food. Because now you might take a sister who, let's say, for example, or let's say you take a married couple and the man is just not able to perform and it's a diet thing. Okay, now the woman might be frustrated as a result of his inability to perform. She might be frustrated with him. But she's actually eating the exact same thing that has caused the issue in him, but not making that connection. Somehow she may fault him or blame him or, you know, be frustrated with him or, you know.
Sure.
So, you know.
Right, and the thing is that it's having the same effect on her body. It's just not showing up as clearly that way. It'll show up later. It'll show up in some other form. It'll show up with, you know, we want to talk about these type of issues, maybe greater PMS or pain during menstruation or... Also, the same thing happens for women in terms of when you don't have adequate blood flow, too. There's less arousal, there's less thing. Everything is related to blood flow and all of that as well. So things can be diminished. It's just not going to show up, obviously, in the same way or even at the same time. But it's having the exact effect in terms of clogging the arteries of her as well, and heart disease is one of the top killers of women, and we're often not, you know, told as much about that, and so it's having an effect. She just doesn't know it yet.
That is really, really heavy to me, because again, you have brothers who are walking around with low self-esteem, you know, as a result of, you know, ED and, you know, frustrated marriages or frustrated relationships. And, you know, the man might be feeling bad about himself now, you know, and because the sister, it might not show up in her in the exact same way, you know, she may be looking at him as being lesser, you know what I mean? Not being able to perform. I mean, you know, and for a man, that's a heavy piece. I mean, for a man, that's like, I mean, the whole, his whole manhood is based on, in his mind, actually, you know, we've been socialized in this country to believe that, you know, your manhood, you're a man, you know what I mean? If you can satisfy your woman, and of course, there's no greater feeling for a man than being able to do that. But, I mean, your whole manhood in this society is based on that. And if a man cannot perform in that area, at the very least, even if his woman doesn't think that he's less than a man, he thinks that she thinks that he's less than a man. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to have an effect on him. And so, you know, shows like this are important because for a woman who might have had to experience that with her man, I mean, just the fact that he couldn't perform, again, and I read a study that was showing that I think they said 90% of men have had to deal with this issue. So that means that there's a large percentage of women that have had to deal with it too. So just by the woman knowing exactly what's going on with him, it's not just a situation of, well, the man, oh, he's getting old, he's old now, you know, because there are old men that can obtain, sustain, and maintain an erection, you know, so it's not necessarily an age thing, but it's a diet thing, it's a health thing, and if sisters are clear on that.
Yeah, it's definitely a diet-related thing because, and I'm sure there are a lot of frustrations that go along with this, and men not wanting to maybe go to the doctor or fixing it by getting Viagra, you know, in the black market or going to the doctor or however. And that's really a dangerous scenario because if you do in fact have some type of clogged arteries and you're taking Viagra basically says you're because you have plaque built up in the arteries, not enough blood is going through fast enough to make this happen. So taking Viagra basically forces the blood through a lot faster to force this to happen, which can lead to heart attack and stroke, which is why they say that in the commercial. Make sure your doctor says your heart is strong enough to take Viagra, because now we're doing an unnatural thing and forcing blood through a tiny opening that's supposed to be clear like a highway, but now it's like just like in traffic, especially in D.C., when they shut down one lane of a three-lane highway, how frustrating it gets to get through there and how everything slows down. Now imagine we just have a big wind that forces everything through. We could start having some accidents and clogging things up. The same thing happens in the body for a lot of people. So it's really not the solution at all. We joke about it a lot, you know, let's just go do this and fix it, and that's not the answer. The answer, there are several, one being a vegan diet can quickly reverse erectile dysfunction, because a vegan diet has been shown to remove one of the only diets to actually reverse the plaque buildup and causes it to clear out, which can then lead to increased performance and getting you back to where you were, which I find is interesting, because people often associate vegan diets with people being kind of soft or, you know, not manly, and they associate meat eating, you know, hungry man and steaks,
right,
and raw meat with strong, virile men, when it's actually the opposite. So the guys who are eating the vegetables and the so-called rabbit food are the ones that are going to be able to perform into their 80s and 90s without a problem, whereas the ones who have been sitting around, you know, meat and potatoes and having steak and shrimp and all this other stuff every day and drinking their manly beer are going to be not in a really good position to perform for very long. So it's really the opposite of what we think. And I always find that a little comical in the way that we paint these stereotypes, which are often backwards, and this one is one of those situations.
You know, it's unfortunate that for those who kind of scoff at the idea of veganism or vegetarianism, you know, the brothers that scoff at it, you know, that it's sad, because unfortunately, one day when confronted with either erectile dysfunction or some other form of disease, that because they scoffed at it, unfortunately, they might not consider it as a viable option when, you know, looking at treatments, because they've already, you know, got a made-up mind that, you know, that's, you know,
yeah,
I'm not going that way, you know.
That's,
I mean,
true, but sometimes illness has a way of making you think twice. So, and this is an illness. It's not just a dysfunction. This is an illness that it's basically, it's a light shining on an illness. So we have to look at it that way and know that it needs to be treated, and not treated with just a temporary pill. That's not a treatment. That's just making you able to have sex for this period of time. It's not a treatment. It doesn't solve any problem, the problem that caused this condition. So we have to look at it that if that's a problem, you've got a disease here that needs to be remedied, and it's an important one because it could also stop the heart. But there are a lot of other conditions that cause this, from obesity being one, is a common cause of erectile dysfunction, again, because you're stressing the body too much. The blood flow issue can be a problem of the heart trying to pump enough blood for the entire body, and if you're overweight, 50, 60, 70 pounds, sometimes that's too much for the body to be able to maintain that. And then diabetes, which often is a result of obesity, is another reason for erectile dysfunction. So these things kind of come in groups, you know, obesity, diabetes, erectile dysfunction, kidney failure, they all come together, which is why we have to address the root cause. Obviously, drinking too much, alcoholism can impair blood flow very much so that's an issue that has to be dealt with. I guess general neuropathy has been also, diabetic neuropathy, again, related to diabetes, has been a cause of that as well. And then issues with the prostate gland, like inflammation of the prostate, not necessarily cancer, but having an inflamed prostate gland can cause that as well. High blood pressure can cause that. Again, that's because, you know, the body's having a hard time getting blood through vessels, which causes sometimes the high blood pressure. So it's an option. It's another reason for this. And then just overall stress, chronic stress, and smoking can also be causes of it. So there's quite a few reasons, but most of those I just listed can be addressed. And there are some other things here and there dealing with the pituitary gland and other things, but that's less common of the reason, which is why you want to see a doctor and get your full diagnosis and check out your that they don't recommend, you know, checking for plaque in the arteries. You should know to ask for that, because it's very likely that it's there. And if that's the cause, then we have a cure for it, and it's not a pill.
You know, Doctor, you mentioned stress. And, you know, just from some research that I was doing, I read that, like, between 10 and 20% of the, well, it's called psychological erectile dysfunction, and that, you know, out of 100 people, you know, 10 or 20 are going to, their issue is going to be psychological. You know, they're going to be dealing with issues related to stress or fear or, you know, let's say, for example, you take a brother who's experienced it one time. Then now that's going to be in the back of his head, you know, when he's approaching the sexual encounter, and he might be praying, oh, God, just let it work, you know, because
yeah.
He don't want to experience that either embarrassment or whatever he had to deal with emotionally as a result of not being able to.
Sure, yeah, fear of reoccurrence, and then it builds it up quite a bit, the stress level, which has a likelihood of making it happen again, that anxiety. So, I mean, it's important to have a partner that you're comfortable with, you know, that's for starters, in a relationship who is understanding so that you can relieve some of that stress women are understanding creatures. We are very amenable. So, you know, you need to just be open and honest about it. And then, you know, do something about it, but that helps relieve the anxiety and the stress, because it's not the end all to be all just because it doesn't happen this time. So that can help, you know, relieve the stress, is that, you know, we're a little bit different from men, and we're not going to get all bent out of shape if it's not happening right now. So, you know, you have to be with someone you're comfortable with, hopefully in a loving, nurturing relationship so that this isn't such an issue. Now, I understand the embarrassment factor and all of that, but, you know, things happen. And so you have to find a way to deal with that stress, you know, do some yoga or something beforehand to relax. I don't know. So you've got to deal with that stress and let it go.
You know what's very interesting?
Performance anxiety can definitely be a killer. Now, if there's other stress, whether it's just job stress or money stress or something like that, that can also play a role, and you have to deal with that too.
You know, as I was mentioning, you know, last night in the last night's show, that you have brothers that are dealing with stuff like you just mentioned, you know, job stress, you know, just different issues, other things going on, fear, anxiety, or whatever. And I think that what people have done over the years has felt like, okay, well, let me have sex, or quote, make love, end quote, and that will take my mind off of, you know, whatever the other issues, external issues outside the home, or, you know, that I'm dealing with or whatever. But, you know, I don't necessarily think that it's a good idea to bring that stuff to the bedroom. You know what I mean? Because you're exchanging energy when you're making love with your partner, you know, and you don't want to bring these type of, you don't want to come to that, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't want to come to the bed fear for carrying anger.
Right,
you know,
that stress with you, because that's really not the purpose. I mean, the good thing about it is it's, you know, relieving stress is a byproduct of sex, not the purpose for sex. So, so you know, you want to deal with your issues before getting there. Absolutely. Because I agree, you're bringing that energy and things with you, and oftentimes you're bringing that stress too, and that it, you know, may not occur as you would like because of that.
You know, I'll share with you what one of the brothers that I mentioned to you. I mentioned that there were two brothers that in my whole life that I've only heard two brothers even mention the fact that they actually, you know, approached the, you know, sexual encounter and were unable to perform. And I thought that the one that I'm going to share, I thought it was pretty interesting. And this was the scenario that I think he said it was Valentine's Day or something, and he and an ex,
oh, boy.
That he decided to hook up with an ex, and that, you know, they had a wonderful time. They went to the movies. They went out to eat dinner. Then afterwards, they went back to her place or whatever. And then when the moment of, now this was an ex now, and he said when the moment of truth, you know, approached, he just started thinking about all the stuff that they had been through, you know, and which caused them to be exes, you know what I mean, as opposed to him currently being in a relationship with her. And
he should have thought about that before he asked her out.
And I was actually shocked that he was actually even sharing it with me because, you know, men don't normally talk about this kind of stuff, right? And so I was
right.
like, you know, kind of feeling a little awkward. I'm like, okay,
right.
where is he going with this?
Sure.
So, but he shared that when the moment of truth arrived that he just wasn't able to perform. And he realized, he said that it wasn't him. He said, because he said, you know, Juwanza, you know, I don't have problems with erections. It's just that, you know, when I was with her, you know, I started thinking about all of the stuff that we, all of the fights, all of the arguments, you know, and it just didn't happen, you know. And so I relate that to say that, you know, it's not, oftentimes I would assume that it's just not a situation. It might, diet plays a role in it, but sometimes, you know, you got some emotional stuff going on as well that, so when people, you would just take couples, for example. If you are arguing, you know, and fussing, and people think that, okay, well, we'll just have what's called makeup sex, you know, then a lot of times, see, things stick in people's minds. And I know you mentioned that, you know, women can get over stuff, you know, the forgiving and so forth. I don't know if brothers are as, you know, forgiving, you know, as that, you know. So when it comes to issues that need to be resolved, resolve those issues. Don't just assume that you're going to just go jump in the bed and, you know, have makeup sex and everything's going to be all right because now you're in the bed and then you get out of the bed and the same issues that, you know, caused you to have the arguments in the first place were never dealt with. And I think that that happens far often too many times that people don't deal with the issues and think that, okay, we'll just be intimate and everything will be okay. Because I think that, as in the case with the brother, he started thinking about all of the stuff that it had them to break up in the first place and wasn't able to perform.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's definitely an issue that that is important for both parties to have a healthy sexual function because definitely women are forgiving and all of that, but when there are unresolved issues, it definitely carries over into intimate relationships, and it will definitely diminish the experience for everyone. So it's important to not use sex as the tool to make up. But you've made up now, sure, you know, if you want to do that, but that doesn't solve everything. You need to address the issues and solve the problem because there have been women who are, for example, unable to have I'm missing the word, the big O, orgasm, okay, because they were mentally and emotionally blocked because they're angry with their partner or they're, you know, they have unresolved issues with them. They've had these fights and they think saying everything is okay, but everything is not. And until they get over that, they're not able to have that. So it can block sexual function for both men and women having emotional problems and arguments and just an unsteady relationship. It definitely diminishes the experience on both sides. So while a man may not be able to, you know, achieve erection, a woman might not be able to achieve orgasm because of that. So it's these things are very closely linked.
Doc, do you think that, for example, when people have, you know, you gave a scenario of, you know, just now about people who, you know, they've got unresolved issues or whatever, and counseling. Now, you might take a brother who might feel like, you know, if I go to counseling, then that's going to take away from the whole, you know, encounter. Because, you know, people, I guess, when they come together to be intimate, you know, want to be spontaneous. You know, don't want to have to think about everything, you know, think about this and think about that. And that could possibly even cause an issue there because you're so busy thinking then, you know, you're thinking about what the counselor said, you know, what the counselor said you should do, and the counselor said you should, you know, go home and light candles. The counselor said you should light some incense and, you know, put on some soft music, or, you know, the counselor said you should take her out on a date, or, you know. So what do you say to that? I mean, because there are people who actually could use some counseling, but, you know, because of, and men tend to be more reluctant to going to counseling than women. A woman might be like, you know, hey, you know what, let's go to counseling or whatever. And the guy's like, ah, them people can't tell me nothing, you know. So what are your thoughts on even counseling as it relates to being able to help to solve some unresolved issues to bring that spark back into the bedroom?
Well, counseling is, I think if you have a good qualified counselor, it's a good thing. I kind of, you know, and it needs to be a neutral party. Oftentimes the counseling can bring in more strife if the person feels like the person is siding with you. Let's say it's a pastor that, you know, maybe she goes to church, he doesn't, and now they're going to, you know, counsel with the pastor. That can cause a problem. We really want to make sure we're getting with qualified people who are on neutral ground, for starters, and that tends to bring in a little bit less strife. But counseling is generally going to be helpful if there are relationships, emotional issues that you have with one another, or background issues that you haven't. Sometimes you need couples counseling, sometimes you need individual counseling. But most times it's a positive thing to try. I mean, you can always stop at any time. So I would always recommend it with a good person that has good reviews, who can be helpful. I think it's an important thing to do. If you're having chronic relationship problems, you need to do something. And counseling is a good place to start, for sure.
You know, Doctor, since we're having this discussion, now might be a good place to talk about another issue that it's in the same family, I guess, as erectile dysfunction, and a lot of women have dealt with this as well. It's something that, you know, you hear, you know, jokes of, even comedians even make jokes about it, you know, and that is premature ejaculation. So let's say you have a brother who is, I mean, he has no problems, not an erectile dysfunction issue, but the sister might be like, I can see a sister out there with her hand in the air, hey, talk about premature ejaculation. That's what I need to talk about. So for a brother who might even be dealing with that, there are different techniques that you can learn, brother, that can help you to actually, you know, control that. Then actually, I mean, when you think about it just from a holistic standpoint, I mean, I've actually read that every time a man ejaculates that he actually loses 4 meals worth of nutrients. So if that's true, and you take a brother that might not have been eating healthy to begin with, he can't afford to lose 1 meal worth of nutrients, much less 4. So, you know, even for a brother to even come to the encounter with the mindset that ejaculation is not the goal necessarily, the all end all, but that, you know, just the satisfying and pleasing of your partner is the goal, and you can actually help to ensure that by making sure that the encounter lasts longer than, you know, it would normally last if, you know, the brother ejaculated.
Absolutely. There are a lot of ways to do that. A lot of it, you know, deals with meditation and other techniques that you can practice, things that you can do to strengthen the muscles. That's a completely different issue, but emotional control and things like that definitely help with that issue. And it's something that should be addressed as well, because that can, you know, cause relationship problems if that happens continuously. So it's not something that should be ignored. But knowing that there are a lot of mental techniques that I've read that men use to help with that, and, you know, practicing with their partner different rhythms that can slow that process down. So it's definitely possible.
And I want brothers to know that it's not a compliment to your mate if you ejaculate prematurely, and your excuse to her is, "Oh, baby, you know, it was just, you just turned me on so much. It was so good." You know,
yes. Let me tell you, that is not a compliment. That is irritation. It's not an acceptable excuse at all from a woman's friend. Let me tell you, I have a lot of girlfriends. None of them have ever said, "Oh, I was so great. It happened so fast," and they were happy about that. No, it is not acceptable. I think the first time you can be excited and sure, we'll give you a pass. After that, you got to get it together. So.
And remember, brothers, sisters talk, okay?
Oh, yeah.
To each other, okay?
Yeah.
With
so
your girlfriend, and you girlfriend, they know all about you, bro. They know all about you. So they just smile at you, you know, ask how you're doing. But they're all in your bedroom, my brother. So, you know, just make sure that, you know, you take the time to, because this is really, it's truly a sacred act, you know. And I think that if people actually looked at the lovemaking encounter as something that's really, really sacred, you know, can create life. I mean, you can actually create another human being by this act, you know. So if brothers actually had a healthy respect for the womb of the woman and viewed that place as a sacred space, you know, then, you know, I think that the whole, you know, approach to it would be different. Because if you viewed a woman's womb, my brother, as a sacred space, then you're going to view her as sacred. You know, then your whole outlook on her is going to be different. If you view the womb as sacred, then you can't view the womb as sacred and not view her as sacred, you know. So that's going to, color your approach to the whole lovemaking act a bit differently. And even when it comes to doing whatever it takes to ensure that when you approach the situation that you're ready, you're not going to come. If you view the womb as sacred, you're not going to bring anger to the womb. You're not going to bring fear to the room, to the room or the womb. You're not going to bring anxiety and, you know, all of this other kind of stuff to the womb. And if you view the womb as sacred, then you got to view yourself as sacred too. That same area on your body is just as sacred. So you're not going to want to ejaculate, let's say, mucus or, you know, toxic sperm into the sacred womb of your queen, you know. So let's look at it from a different perspective, and maybe in doing so we can actually, you know, change the way, you know, we view that whole encounter and, you know, kind of bring it up a bit to, you know, the realm of, you know, just something that's divine, because truly, you know, it really is. But again, Doc, you know, I want to let everybody know, if you're listening online and you want to join the conversation, 347-324-5727. And if you're listening by phone, all you have to do is just press 1. Now, again, we were talking about erectile dysfunction, and the conversation is kind of going wherever it needs to go. But could we talk about prescription medication? Again, we talked about it last night, and for all the people that are listening today, we did a show on erectile dysfunction last night. You can go back and listen to that again as well. That was with King Coy Dunstan. But, Doc, what are the side effects of medication, prescription medication, not holistic medication, but prescription medication? Because a lot of these toxic medications have side effects, one of which could be erectile dysfunction. Could you talk about that?
Sure. There are... That is the case. Some medications can have that issue. So, you know, if you have like an issue like high blood pressure or other medications or other issues, that can cause that. So, again, it would be getting to the root cause. You know, there's side effects to the medication that is prescribed for that. That, you know, one being heart attack or stroke. So that's why it's definitely not you know, what you want to take. I mean, anything from headache to muscle pain, prolonged erection, all those are side effects of pills like Viagra. So it can be, it's not the solution, because there's always a side effect to that. Most commonly, you know, you're going to have, you know, issues that are related to things like diabetes and kidney failure and things like that that are going to bring that and exacerbate erectile dysfunction. So it's really about getting to the root cause of the primary problem. Then you can solve that other issue by getting off of certain medications that you won't need if you solve the problem to begin with.
You know, Doc, if we could talk for a moment about just the imagination and visual, well, men are visual, okay, extremely visual, okay? That's why men go to strip clubs, you know, because they're extremely visual, you know. They'll go to a strip club and pay money to see a woman dance in a thong. I mean, you know, just extremely visual. And, you know, I've heard women say that, I ain't doing all that. I ain't wearing no high heel shoes. I ain't going to be walking around, you know, prancing around like that. I'm at home. Shoot, I'm tired. I ain't got time to be every time this man wants sex. You know, I got to put on this and put on that and, you know, dance and all this other kind of stuff, you know. But, again, you have men that go to strip clubs, okay, to watch other women dance and, you know, do all of these things because men are extremely visual. Matter of fact, so visual, I'm sure that when the man goes to the strip club and watches these other women dance or whatever, he might go home and have this other woman that he just left the club still dancing in his mind, you know. So, I mean, just, I mean, and this is real, you know, we're talking real stuff here, again, because there are different things that cause, you know, erectile, you know, dysfunction. Not to suggest, I'm not in any way suggesting that, you know, women, you need to dance for your man. I mean, if that's not you, you know what I mean? You know, that's not you. But it might be him. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't know what he likes really, you know, what he really likes, what really turns him on, and I mean, it goes so deep. I mean, this is not even a discussion that you can even, you know, just bring it all together in a one-hour show. I mean, because there's so many other things. I mean, the woman's probably sitting out there thinking, well, turn him on. He need to figure out what turns me on, you know. So, I mean, because you got stuff. I mean, we could get into the chakras. I mean, and blocked chakras. I mean, we talked about clogged arteries. But, I mean, we could take the conversation into blocked chakras. I mean, that center, that sacral center in the woman could be blocked. You know, there could be, like you mentioned earlier, some past issues that she might be dealing with. It could be childhood issues. And God forbid that a woman, you're dealing with a woman that has, you know, raped or molested. I remember hearing about a woman one time who was actually raped, and her husband, you know, really had a hard time dealing with it. You know, he was just, you know, just, I guess, kind of being insensitive about it. After 6 months, she still wasn't ready to be intimate with him. And, you know, he kind of went off, you know, like, well, come on, look, it's been 6 months. Come on now, you know, Jesus, how long am I supposed to have to wait? You know, I mean, I know you've been raped and all that, but I mean, real insensitive about it, you know. I mean, it didn't happen to him. It happened to her. So, I mean, just there's so many different things that contribute to both parties, you know, either being satisfied, having a healthy sexual relationship or not. So, I mean, we might have to do another show on this, Doc, because, you know, we might have to get into the chakras and, you know, energy and, you know, all of that energy configuration. I mean, because there are people that just have blockages, you know, and...
Right.
You know, just,
absolutely.
I mean,
there's
just
a lot.
Yeah.
That people take into that not understanding. I mean, I feel like in a situation like that, she should have been getting therapy before the marriage and the 6 months leading up to that, you know, enduring, so that knowing that that's an expected part of marriage, to be fair to everyone, it's not, you know, you don't just not address it. I don't know if she was or not, but that's definitely something you want to address and need to address, and not just for him, but for her, so that she can have a healthy sexual life as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, being attracted to your partner is a big thing. And so, you know, dressing up, looking good is definitely important, but a lot of times for women, you know, the attraction starts way before the bedroom, and many men misunderstand that. And so they think they can just rush into the bedroom and make this happen. But really, sex started, you know, when you got up, how you treated me, what did you do? You know, did you say thank you for the breakfast I made? Did you compliment me when I got home? Did you say something nice to me throughout the day? That is what makes sex better. And so, you know, those type of things, being emotionally aware and attentive, really has a huge effect on sex. And so, so oftentimes people think that, you know, sex starts in the bedroom, or when we say, look at each other and let's go do this. No, it started this morning. So if you started with a grouchy morning, and or just a dismissive morning, and then you come home and don't necessarily help with the dishes or don't say thank you for the dinner, and then we get in the bed and you're like, okay, it's probably not going to happen because you've neglected all of that other things that really facilitates a healthy sexual relationship. So there's tons of things that go into it. It's not, you know, a simple, and it's not necessarily complicated either. It's just being in those healthy relationships that facilitate this. And so, you know, women, you know, we have to stay looking good just as men have to stay looking good. A lot of times men let themselves go too. They got the, what I call the beer belly or the basketball belly. And the basketball meaning your belly looks like a basketball, not that you're playing basketball, but that's not attractive to a lot of people. And so that can be an issue why, you know, a woman might not want to engage in sex or something like that, or why it's not like it used to be. So we really have to take care of our mind, body, and our spirits before we just think, you know, sex is some rudimentary thing when it really isn't. It's something that happens throughout the day.
You know, Doc, this is a very, very important discussion that we're having right now. I mean, because for the brothers that are listening, you're hearing it from a female's perspective, okay? You might think that you know, but you're hearing it from a female's perspective, okay? So remember that, you know, I mean, you said something, Doc, that, I mean, I don't think a lot of brothers even think about, you know, which is, okay, did you help with the dishes? You know what I mean? You know, did you say thank you? I mean,
men really don't know how much more sex they would have if they did housework routinely. Really, it's like the secret or something. That women are really appreciative of little things that happen like that. Because we have to eat every day. We have to do the dishes every day. So it becomes so routine and ignored, it's not appreciated. And so then when you kick in and do that, that shows I appreciate what you're doing, these little things every day. And that opens a woman's heart to being open to you. And the same goes when you ignore that.
Doc, you might need to do some counseling. You know, you might have missed your... You might need to do some counseling. Brothers, are you listening? I hope you're listening to this, because this information and what you're hearing from Dr. Lathan can actually save your relationship. If your relationship is on the rocks, you know, then, you know, just try some of the simple tips that she just shared with you and just test it. And just see. You don't have to tell your mate, you know, I listened to Health, Wealth, and Divine, and I heard Dr. Lathan, you know, just shock her, you know. Do the dishes.
Exactly.
You know,
just,
you know,
do it and see what happens. It's almost fail safe, so it's going to have a positive result.
Everybody, I know that you have enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. You know, this show is actually about healing. You know, again, you're listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. You know, we, Dr. Lathan is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, and we've, you know, we talked about her awesome, awesome testimony, how she cured herself of thyroid cancer, and we've discussed so many different aspects of holistic health. All of her shows that she's done with me are in the archives, so I encourage you to go back and just scroll down till you find her name, and you will, you know, guarantee you will definitely benefit from the wisdom, the information that she shares on holistic health. And, I mean, you got an extra tidbit today, an extra treat, because also, obviously, you know, a awesome relationship counselor, too. Now, I don't know if you can call her up and schedule an appointment for that, but, I mean, you can always listen
to
this show.
You know, I end up doing quite a bit of counseling. I do nutritional counseling, but a lot of times we have to talk about things that seemingly aren't related to food before we get to lifestyle changes that people are able to make because of it. So it's always, there's always more to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not a counselor, but I end up doing a little bit of that during my nutritional counseling sessions as well.
Well, brothers, I hope that this show was beneficial to you. Sisters, I hope that this show was beneficial to you as well, because now that you've heard the information, again, concerning erectile dysfunction, what it is, what causes it, and that it can actually be treated quite easily, then,
mm-hmm.
in fact, you have dealt with a man who wasn't able to perform, you know, don't beat him up over it, don't make him feel bad about it, make him feel less than a man about it. I mean, because, again, if it's a diet thing, the very food that he's eating, if you're eating the same food, then, you know, it's just showing up in him as erectile dysfunction, but it might show up in you as something else. So, you know, just take heed, listen to this information, because you did not hear this by accident. I don't believe that there are accidents in the universe like this. I mean, you are here, you're listening, you're hearing this show on purpose. You're actually here on purpose, you know. So if you're here on purpose, then this show is either for you or somebody that you know. So I would encourage you to share this link to this show with a man that you know. I mean, it could be your brother, your cousin, your son, your father, your coworker, you know. Brothers, if you're listening, you know, share this information with a sister that you know, because, again, we're trying to heal together. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about healing the family. It's about healing the community, and we're going to do it, you know, one person at a time. So, you know, it starts with you. You know, so take this information, you know, go back and listen to the show again. This is an awesome show. I'm going to go back and listen to it several times. So I encourage you to do the same thing and share this link with somebody else. Dr. Lathan, I really appreciate you, my sister. I mean, I knew this was going to be a powerful show, and I wasn't disappointed. Any parting words for our listeners tonight? Anything that we did not touch on as far as ED or, you know, any other piece that you would like to add to this puzzle, or did
well,
we pretty much?
Well, I would say definitely knowing that there is a cure for this, it's easily reversible, and if you're looking for recipes for her to make this change, you can go to my website where we have all vegan plant-based recipes. You can go to RubyLathan.com, start there. There are videos, recipes that taste good, that are hearty, that are going to help clear the arteries, and you want to do this and know that it's not something to be ignored. It's something that needs to be addressed and addressed as quickly as possible, because it is progressive. Clogged arteries are progressive. They don't just go away. It's more like a ticking time bomb. So
mm-hmm.
if you have this problem, do something about it.
Everybody, RubyLathan.com. Don't forget the veggie chest, okay? Definitely. The people that are just making the transition or thinking about making the transition, I think one of the reasons why people don't is because they don't know what they're going to eat. You know, they've been, you know, just conditioned to eat meat, and not just meat. It's not just meat that's bad for you, but processed foods and all of that, you know. So if you knew that you could substitute what you're eating now, if you're eating bad, for diet, or shall I like to use the word live it, that's, you know, good for you, that's going to, you know, energize your body and, you know, give your body the nutrients that it needs, then the veggie chest is perfect for you. You can actually see the food, you know, how she prepares it, you know, that what she's juicing or blending, and, you know, especially women. I mean, you know, because women love to cook and like to experiment. You know, brothers just like to eat, you know. But for the sisters out there, you know, and you want to learn how to do it, then definitely check out the Veggie Chest, because, you know, living healthy, a healthy life, it can be fun. It can be very, very interesting. You know, it doesn't have to be tedious. And I think that a lot of times people approach this whole holistic health, vegan, vegetarian path as something that's tedious. No, you can experiment, you know. I mean, you can have fun. I mean, that's how Dr. Lathan, I mean, you said that when you started eating, you said, you know what, I can make this taste good. And you challenged yourself, and now you're doing a veggie show on how to help other people to do the exact same thing. So, people, we love to eat, and we love to eat delicious food, and you can eat delicious and be vegan and vegetarian at the same time. So we encourage that. Lathan, awesome, awesome show, my sister. Oh, my God, I bow to you. This was powerful. Definitely hope
thank,
that the
thank
listeners...
you again for having me. I appreciate your service to the community and for hosting such a show.
Sister, I'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right, take care now. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's all I can say. You know, sometimes you hear some shows and at the end, all you can just say is, wow, I can't wait to go back and listen to this show again. And so I want to encourage everybody that's listening, definitely check out the Veggie Chest. Also, go to her website, rubylathan.com, and that's R-U-B-Y, and Lathan is L-A-T-H-O-N. Okay, so definitely check it out and get in contact with Dr. Lathan, because, again, this holistic health path, it saves lives. It can extend your life. It can increase the quality of your life and your loved ones. And for those who tuned in because of the title, you know, we were talking, of course, about how to reverse and, you know, eliminate erectile dysfunction. Brothers, there's hope. Okay, it's not something that you have to live with. It's easily reversed. Okay, and this was really a family show. I mean, it's for the women, it's for the men, it's for the family. And so, sisters, you know what it's about now. You know why the brother wasn't able to perform. And so now, you know, help him to make the changes that he needs to make and that you need to make that can help to, you know, just bring that love back into your relationship, to bring that spice back into your bedroom, because that's such a very, very large part of relationships. I mean, so definitely, definitely take heed, listen to the show again, and share the information with somebody that you know. Until the next time, my name is Jawanza. You're listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. I thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate you. And if I haven't told you lately, I love you so much. Take care. Peace and blessings.